on your part.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the On Track and Field podcast. I'm your host, JT Ayers. Everything track and field related, ontrackandfield.com. You just need to go to On Track and Field because you can be a coach, you could be your average runner, or you could be an athlete. They're going to have something for you. My wife is a really good marathon runner. She would hate me saying that live on in public, but she is. And she's not a coach. I am. So I need pole vault landing systems, and I need a high jump landing system, and I need blocks and hurdles. Well, On Track and Field has what I need, but my wife, she needs the greatest, best topo shoes. She needs the right millimeter drop, and On Track and Field has that for her. And not only that, but they're always a good discounted price because it's family and owned. OnTrackandField.com. Go and check them out. You will not regret it. With me today is Dr. Shane Creato, known as the Sleep Doctor. This is so exciting for me. He's a board-certified psychiatrist, sleep medicine physician. He has the coolest job in the world. He literally wrote the book, and it's called Sleep for Athletes, Peak Sleep Performance for Athletes. It's cutting-edge sleep science that will guarantee a competitive edge. You can go buy this on Amazon right now. He wrote it 3 years ago, and I consumed it, and I have so many great questions. Dr. Shane, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Coach. It's an absolute pleasure being with you and sharing some information that can help everyone listening today on this journey together.
Well, you better believe this is going to be practical because I'm going to be sending every single athlete I've ever had contact with this exact podcast because this is one of the most important things. And I've talked to Olympians and I always ask them like about sleep and they're like, oh, it's a big, big deal. I mean, LeBron James has the Calm app and he's very vocal about how important sleep is in his ripe age. But can you explain how sleep directly impacts an athlete's physical and cognitive abilities? Like, why is it such a big deal?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a big deal because athletes focus on nutrition, every aspect of it. They focus on every aspect of training, mental conditioning, coaching. When it comes to sleep, it's kind of relegated to when there's major problems, where they can't deal with the problem any longer. And it's kind of viewed as something that's somewhat of something a lazy person might do, as opposed to something that's a performance enhancing tool. So when I saw this happening for years, I've been involved in sports psychiatry and sports for the last decade, actually. I was surprised. Elite athletes, professional teams, Olympic teams, as you mentioned, don't have personalized sleep strategies. Even the Brazilian Olympic team in the Rio Olympics, they got printouts from Google on sleep hygiene, which is kind of ridiculous, thinking that teams and organizations are spending billions of dollars on athletes to get every iota of performance they can out of an athlete, but they're forgetting about sleep, which is foundational. Everything you do, whether it's training, eating right, coaching, fancy rooms, equipment, it's all contingent upon optimal sleep, not normalized sleep. So when it comes to sleep problems and impacts on athletes' physical and cognitive abilities, I like that you differentiated the two, physical and cognitive, because they go hand in hand, right? So physical are direct impacts and indirect impacts. And cognitive, I think about in terms of brain health, which is a foundation for mental health, right? And that leads to concussions as well. So in my book, I devoted a whole chapter, as you know, to concussions and sleep and the overlap there. That's a cognitive thing. When it comes to physical aspects, in terms of straight up direct impacts, we got to think about, well, okay, sleep problems affect your RER, respiratory exchange ratio, and low levels of sleep raise the RER, which means if you're getting poor sleep all the time, you're shifting the majority of your daily calorie burn to lean tissue as opposed to fatty tissue. Ideally, we want to have a low RER value, right, to optimize fat burning while keeping a lean muscle mass. So RER is going to be affected in a big way. Direct impacts on poor sleep or inadequate sleep on inflammation, immune systems, hormone balance. So suboptimal sleep. And when I talk about poor sleep, I mean inadequate amounts or quality or timing. All right. So lower growth hormone, lower testosterone levels, leptin goes down, so you're going to feel hungrier. Ghrelin goes up, you're going to feel hungrier. Cortisol, stress hormone levels go up, so more fat instead of more lean muscle. Mental practical errors increase, reaction times are slowed down, accuracy reduces, sprint times reduce, shooting accuracy reduces, tennis serving speed accuracy are reduced 20 to 40%, swimming start times reduced 17%. That too was just 30 minutes less of sleep. We're not even talking about your circadian rhythms, what's ideal for the given athlete, chrono nutrition, none of those other things, right? Just those factors can impact every aspect of your sports performance. Difficulty with learning new information, your peak power output, recovery after training, all those factors directly related to sleep on the physical side. It goes further into the non or indirect aspects of performance, whereas inadequate sleep results in higher blood sugar levels, cholesterol levels, increased risk for hypertension, increased concussion risk, injury risk in high school athletes who get 8 hours of sleep, which is a lofty goal for most high school athletes. Injury risk increases almost twice the rate, 1.8 times. And overtraining is not the main risk factor of injury when it comes to high school athletes. It's actually suboptimal sleep there. So that's just the physical impacts. It pervades every aspect of your performance. So if you're doing everything right, but not personalized sleep strategies, you're just suboptimal and you're putting in so much effort without getting the full benefits of all the effort you're putting in. The juice should be worth the squeeze. And in the cognitive domain, talk about concussion risk increasing dramatically because your reaction times reduce, your ability to perform movements accurately, like shooting a hoop or running properly, effectively, the biomechanics is impaired, increased risk for injury. And with SPECT imaging or the very sensitive imaging techniques we use at AIM clinics to detect head injuries and the degree of impairment with concussions, we find that the same patterns we see on our NFL guys or MMA fighters with major TBIs look very similar to those with chronic sleep problems. So cognitively, there's a direct correlation and a bidirectional link between mental health burden and sleep issues. Sleep issues affect ADHD risk, depression, anxiety, PTSD risk, and symptoms. And these things also affect sleep. It's bidirectional. One is affecting you, affect the other.
So good to hear you that, hear you say all that, because I've been, as a coach, affirming these things for years. And I basically took it upon myself and I said, I have these high functioning athletes and they're getting these weird injuries. And as a coach, you do everything you can possibly do to ward off injury with physical therapy and medicine balls and bands and stretching and on and on and on. Ice bath, no ice bath. It doesn't, you try everything. And it basically came down to I have high school athletes that just aren't sleeping. So let me play devil's advocate for a second. High school athletes, college level athletes, they have tough schedules. Some of them are traveling. Some are playing late night games. Some of them can't get off Fortnite. Some of them have tons of homework. What advice do you offer athletes that are navigating these obstacles for ensuring some like optimal sleep that you were mentioning?
Yeah, well, we can't have a perfect world. That doesn't exist. And even when it comes to collegiate athletes, the NCAA has done tons of research around how horrendous it is for collegiate athletes with all their competing needs and requirements to kind of like focus on their sleep. And with all that research that the NCAA spent absurd amounts of money on, the fact is that it's still an issue with, the realignments in college football as well that are happening. It's only worsening the problem. But what can we do? First of all, education and awareness, right? We need to make coaches, decision makers like you at every level, organizational, league level, team level, be aware of the fact that what's in it for the stakeholders? Well, athlete injury, shortened careers, poor performance, all these things matter. Once we have the stakeholders involved, they know what there is to gain, what there is to lose.
Totally agree.
That's one factor. Well, the other factor is I'm not going to come into a team and say, well, you guys need to change everything. Training timings, how you do, what you do. No. Mine is a plug and play model. Go and say, well, okay, these are your training times. This is your travel schedule for the season. Let's work around that. I know your travel timings. I can tell you how you can be more flexible with them, whether you want to travel the same night or the next day in the morning. But also, what's the individual athlete about? Does this guy need 10 hours of sleep in a 24-hour period? Does this lady need 8 hours of sleep? And then when can they get them? If they can't get them all in one chunk, strategic napping, sleep extension, light blocking, light delivery, supplements, gut health, timings of meals, types of meals, all of them are used to consolidate the nice walls between naps or strategic naps, wakefulness, and sleep.
Well, how long is a strategic nap? Because I have athletes that will say 3 hours, where I'm telling them, no, nothing past 30 minutes. What would you recommend?
It depends on their sl total sleep need in a 24-hour period. So I look at sleep need not in terms of sleep hours, but in terms of sleep cycles of 90 minutes each. So 6 sleep cycles is 9 hours of sleep. Now, if an athlete is training 6 hours a day at a high pace, like tennis or sprinting or swimming, we need recovery sleep kicking in. Now, there's no fixed formula for this, but if an athlete is already used to getting 10 and a half hours of sleep in a 24-hour period, and say the typical sleep timings are waking up at 6:30 in the morning and going to bed at 9 p.m., for example, and they're out traveling or partying and they go to bed, 3 hours later at 12 a.m., let's be real over here, people have lives. The next day, I recommend just waking up at the same time, 6:30. They're losing out on 3 hours of sleep. Great. But if you wake up later, you're pushing yourself into a new time zone. So inflammation, small muscle tears and fibers after training, hormone levels, all those things matter. So rather than waking up later and pushing yourself in a new time zone, which will take a lot of time to recover with, take a strategic nap lasting the amount of time that you've lost out on. In this example, 3 hours. When you're feeling sleepy in the late morning or early afternoon, get that chunk. People might say, "Oh, I read on Google that it's going to affect my ability to fall asleep the next day." Rubbish. No, because you're only making up for your total sleep need anyway in that 24-hour period. You should be good.
Okay, that's good to know, especially for high school kids that want to sleep in till 2 or 3 p.m. on a Saturday and a Sunday, right? We're saying, no. You stay up, you can stay out with the wolves. You got to get up in the morning and soar with the eagles, which makes no sense. But I think my dad told me that one time. Well, speak on sleep quality versus sleep quantity. You mentioned that earlier. What what's the difference between the two?
Okay, so this is super important because people are looking at their Fitbits, their wearables, and they're saying, "Oh, well, I got this much sleep." And it's not always correlating with how refreshed someone is. When I talk about sleep quality, I mean that the person needs to have sufficient deep sleep and dream sleep that night. Deep sleep is necessary broadly to flush out toxins that build up in the brain during the night, but also for recovery. Growth hormone is only released in your deep sleep as well. So, muscle building, recovery, repair of torn muscle, micro tears and fibers, reducing inflammation, boosting healing and bone growth, right? So, all the training that you did, you get the true benefit in your deep sleep. And in your dream sleep, JT, we get consolidation of stuff we studied that day and makes our brain fresh to learn more information. Say you've learned gameplay for the next day against the opposition. You won't be able to remember much of it unless you got sufficient dream sleep. So what sabotages sleep quality, deep and dream sleep? Pain, anxiety, poor bedroom environment like lights or noise or rough mattress, even low humidity, maybe high temperatures in the room. So I account for every one of those little factors because they do make a difference. So someone has bad anxiety or PTSD or allergies or restless leg syndrome or sleep apnea, I want to know. And lots of meds also affect sleep quality, right? I want to know what meds are on, what supplements are on, and what kind of nutrition that they have. Because if you're having a fast carb meal with a lot of sugar or a high fat meal as your last meal of the day, it's going to affect your sleep quality. So once I know those things, I can mitigate those factors, improve the quality and the restorative nature of one's sleep. Sleep quantity is simply how many, well, in my case, I look at sleep cycles one may need in order for optimal performance the next day. And timing is crucial. Some people are morning birds, some are night owls. The difference in performance between being a night bird, a night owl and a morning bird is 26%. There's a 26% difference in performance. If you're a night owl, your peak performance is going to be around 11 hours after your wake up. Whereas if you're a morning bird, your peak output is going to be around 5.5 hours after your wake up. So if there's a night game and the coach is wondering what athletes to put on the court that night, second quarter, two guys pretty much equal in performance, I'll tell the coach, night owl. He's the guy who's going to be more on point. So these little things make a huge difference when it comes to outcomes, the smallest of margins in elite sport.
You mentioned about knowing what kind of athlete the person is, what kind of sleep they need. I have four kids of my own. All four of them have very different sleep patterns, it seems like. Like, I think one goes to bed and he's in REM like immediately. Whereas I have another one, it's just like he's like a little ninja. Every little noise, he wakes up and he's So how can I know what kind of sleep that I need or what kind of sleep my athletes need? How can we flush this out and help them?
Yeah, so in my book, I mentioned two important screening tools. One is the ASSQ, and the other is the ASBQ. The ASBQ is a screener that's validated for athletes to look at sleep behaviors that may be sabotaging their sleep. ASSQ is validated for athletes to look at those athletes who might have a more serious sleep problem that's worth addressing. Simply put, whether you're an athlete or not, your coach or anyone else, the fact is that if you're not waking up refreshed, it's not normal. First thing. Second thing is, I could talk about wearables later if you'd like, about not trusting the wearables in terms of deep and dream sleep. I want you to be attuned with your body. I don't care what the wearable says in terms of how little deep or dream sleep you have. If you're waking up refreshed, can function well throughout the day, and are feeling sleepy at the time that it comes to bedtime, you're golden. So how do you know? Well, if you're on vacation or off season, how many hours do you typically gravitate toward? Not just the timings, just talk about the hours. Do you gravitate toward like 9 hours a night, and then are you feeling good and refreshed? If you're getting maybe 10 hours or even 11 hours as an elite athlete with high training every day, and you're still not feeling refreshed, then it might be a qualitative issue. It might be restless legs, sleep apnea, other factors prevent you from getting the deep and dream sleep. So if you're feeling refreshed, that's how many hours you need. If you're not feeling refreshed with adequate sleep, you might have a qualitative issue. Once we know these things, timing is easy. That's what I do. It's my bread and butter. You're a night owl, but you have early morning race times at practice. I will shift your rhythm to make you an early morning bird. So that's what I do for my athletes who are traveling across time zones, countries, frequently going to the Olympics this year in Paris. I can shift your rhythm. And I did that for Leanne Rimes this summer as well, when she's been on, The Voice and the judge and the voice of both the UK and Australia. She's constantly going between those places. Mike Bryan, the tennis champion, won 18 Grand Slams. That's the easy part. The timing is I can shift. But we need to know what your total sleep need is in a 24-hour period and rule out qualitative problems.
Okay. I guess I'm gonna have to have some conversations with some athletes. So, where do
Yeah.
you see like sleep in sports? Where is this going? Because your book does not shy away from technology being a positive thing, even though it's so much in your field as it's negative, it's negative, it's negative. You're saying that's not necessarily always the case. So, where is sleep in sports going in your mind, or where should it go?
Absolutely. So when it comes to technology, we need to be very careful before we adopt certain technologies, because it's upon us, it's upon coaches, decision makers, trainers to do that due diligence, get information from the right sources, because your athletes, rely on you for their entire careers, their future. Their lives are their sport, right? So they rely on you to give them quality information. And where you source that information is critical. Last year, around 10,000 medical journals were retracted because of false information. So there's a huge, huge, huge amount of false information out there. On my Instagram, Peak Sleep Performance, as you know, JD, I have a whole video series devoted to sleep BS or bad science, where I crap on all the rubbish that's out there because we're flooded with information, thirsting for wisdom. So the wearables, none of the consumer-grade wearables that are available thus far are accurate enough to my satisfaction to determine deep and dream sleep. As total measures, roughly, of total sleep may be fine. But then, you know, knowing athletes who want to optimize everything and want to work on everything, athletes can also obsess about the wearables and say, well, my Oura Ring said this in my sleep. I only got 30 minutes of deep sleep, but I'm feeling good and I'm worried. Go with how your body is feeling. So the wearables are not up to par right now. Even light-blocking glasses, blue light-blocking glasses or filters in your phone, not very effective. Not very effective at all, according to data. So be very careful with what technologies you trust. Even supplements need to be NSF certified for athletes. And because of a huge gap in the available accurate information, what I think is a need is education for the stakeholders and decision makers to understand how sleep optimization is a crucial pillar, that all their resources are not being fully actualized if they're not focusing on personalized sleep strategies, that everyone wins, athletes' performances will improve, records will be broken, careers will be extended, the franchise will increase in value because more wins will be had, fans will be happy, merch will be sold, everyone wins. So my goal is to empower athletes to understand the impact of sleep optimization on improving performance, really. It improves their bottom line. It improves their negotiating ability at the table when it comes to renegotiating contracts. And they need to have the power of this information in their own hands. So I think we need to leverage technology in the right way to have an easily accessible, applicable program, if you will, to have athletes screened for sleep problems, understand those who just have optimization goals in mind, and track those sleep improvements along with performance improvements. And that's really what I'm working on this year, to develop a form or a utilization where it's easy, it's applicable, it's not rocket science, and they can track all their numbers so they know exactly what they're doing right and what they can do better.
Well, we're definitely going to have you on again. I mean, this is one of those moments where I am kicking myself about the format of this podcast because we're not super long. And now I'm thinking, there's so much. Excuse me, I got choked up. There's so much more that we could talk about. We're going to have you on again. You are a wealth of knowledge. I cannot thank you enough. Look back into the fall and we'll have you back on and we'll talk more about some of those practical, like I like how you said it's not rocket science, and normal person and a normal athlete can take care of the things that they think is possible. So Dr. Shane, where can we find more? Where can we follow more? You did mention your Instagram with Peak Sleep Performance. Where else can we follow more about what's coming and what's coming down the pipeline for helping athletes out with sleep?
Absolutely. So you can go to my website, shanecriado.com. It has a ton of information about what I'm working on, my approach to athletes. I work with as a consultant for athletes individually or organizations, sports organizations or sports teams at every level. And I love collaborating with coaches like you and athletic directors and trainers to kind of like get on the same page. So when I consult with a team, I sit down with them and say, well, what are you guys doing? My job is not to change everything around you, step on your toes. What can I incorporate within the existing paradigm and maybe how we could shift certain paradigms that are more aligned with sleep optimization, because we're all a team. We're all in this together.
Absolutely. Well, we'll definitely, when we broadcast this podcast out there, we'll put all those links there so people can find it, including in the description. Dr. Criado, you are awesome. I'm so glad we're able to connect. We're going to do this again. Stick with us just for another second so you can listen to the CEO of On Track and Field and RelayBatons.com, who is also a very good sleeper. Steve Rangold, why don't you take us away and let us know how to get in contact with these amazing companies on social media.
Thanks for listening to this week's On Track and Field podcast with guest Dr. Shane Criado. The On Track and Field podcast is powered by RelayBatons.com. Custom engraved meat and competition legal relay batons, water bottles and tumblers. Great for team branding, fundraisers, meet awards and coaches gifts. And by OnTrackAndField.com, the source for all things track and field and cross country related. Competition gear, spikes, training equipment, and shoes. OnTrackAndField.com has everything you need, including our new pole vault and high jump landing systems, designed by jumpers for jumpers. Check them out online or give us a call for a free quote. And make sure to check out our new website, OnTrackRunning.com, your new source for competition and training shoes, featuring Saucony, Brooks, On Running, New Balance, Asics, and Hoka shoes and spikes. OnTrackRunning.com. And make sure to follow us on our socials at On Track, the letter N, Field, at On Track and Field on Twitter and the Gram,